I love the reminder of truth about God as we worship together. Lift him high in the lowest valley. Sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Last song we just sang, "You are my God and you are enough," and how true that is. I shared with you a few months ago that our son-in-law and daughter, Matt and Katie, are expecting a trisomy 18 baby. And shared with you that they were told that T18 babies are incompatible with life. And so many of you have just expressed your love and your care and prayer, and so I wanted to give you an update today. Matt and Katie have done research and discovered that if you have the right medical team, that sometimes T18 babies live. They will have very severe mental and physical challenges, but that doesn't diminish the value of their life. And they have found a good medical team and our granddaughter will be born on Wednesday. So I'd appreciate your prayer for Matt and Katie, because if she lives, they will have all kinds of significant decisions that they have to make. Appreciate your prayer for peace, for God to just make his desires really clear to them, and they'll know what decisions should be made. And pray for them in particular, but also for both sides of the family, as this week we began a new chapter in the journey together, and know that God is good in that, and he will sustain in that. And so thank you. Then on a much brighter note, Kathy and I, from the depths of our heart, thank you for just an incredible 20th anniversary celebration last week. That was just so special. Thank you so much. Nobody deserves to be a part of a church like this, and to be a pastor here for 20 years is just amazing. That would not have happened without your love and support, and we are deeply, deeply grateful for that. I also want to say thank you to Student Impact Team for continuing the celebration Sunday night at our house. Made for a whole lot of fun in our neighborhood, and I love it when students have good fun together, and that was just that finished the day off just perfect. So thank you guys for loving us that way. And thank you for being a church that lives on mission, for developing fully devoted followers of Christ by intentionally building those who know Christ and passionately pursuing those without Christ. We're in a 5-week series called Multiply, where we're talking about our mission together. And on week one, we looked at the Great Commission, where we get our mission from. And our mission is to make disciples, and we define it developing fully devoted followers of Christ. And then week two through today, week five, we're in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, where Christ is calling some disciples, and he starts out, he says, "Follow me." Week one or week two, we said, "Follow me." That you don't have to be somebody great to be a disciple, you just have to follow Jesus. And then week three, "Follow me and I will make you." That there is an intentional discipleship pathway that you have to follow some route to get to your intended destination. And there can be different routes, and I'm sure we'll tweak and modify our disciple-making path as we learn and grow, just like we have church planting. But we talked about our disciple-making pathway, and we gave examples of that in Scripture. That our path includes a large group, which is the worship service, and a mid-sized group, which is either Sunday school or life group, and a D group, which we'll talk about today. D groups are gender-specific groups of 3 to 5 people, believers, who meet together weekly for 12 months, and we will extend that a little longer, some groups, so that we stagger when they start next year, for the purpose of accelerated spiritual transformation and ultimately for multiplication. We'll talk about that more today and give you the chance to sign up for that. We're encouraging everyone to be in all three parts of the path, the large group, the mid-sized group, and the D group, the small group. And the heart behind all of those is that we multiply. That we multiply D groups and we multiply mid-sized groups and we multiply the large group by planting churches as well. This is strategic to reach our church and to reach our city and our county and to impact the world. Last Sunday, the focus was fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. For a select few, like the first disciples, that means leaving your vocation and doing that like it's a full-time kind of thing. But for most of us, that means our vocation now has new meaning. You know, before it was maybe to help pay the bills and to be able to give and to help people in need and save and those kinds of things. But and those are all important and those are good and those are still there. But now we realize we're fishers of men and our job becomes one of the places where we fish for people. And yes, we need to respect whatever policies our company has and live within those, but pray for opportunities at work. Pray for friendships there. Have lunch with different people there. Get to know them. Ask God to open up opportunities because life happens when we do life with people and we have an opportunity to share about who Jesus is. The intentionally building those who know Christ and passively pursuing those without Christ are like a boat with two oars attached to it. That if you're rowing a boat and you just have one oar in the water, you're just going to go in a circle. But if you have two oars and you're rowing, you can get to your destination. The same is true with both intentionally building and passionately pursuing. They are both essential. If we're going to get to the destination of developing fully devoted followers of Christ, if all we do is the evangelism part, the intentionally or the passionately pursuing part, then there's people that come to personal faith in Jesus, but that all ends when the evangelist dies. And if all we do is the intentionally building part, we go in the circle of just getting more inward focused and, you know, deeper, but never advancing the kingdom. And both are essential and both are strategic as we carry out the mission that God has given us. Some of us will be stronger in one than in the other, and that's great. But together, as we're committed to both, we fill in each other, and God does a great work. Today, we finish our series in Mark chapter 1. So take your Bibles, turn there, if you will, Mark chapter 1. If you're using a Bible in the book rack in front of you, it's found on page 1001. Mark 1, page 1001, where we will see the disciples' response to Christ's invitation, and we'll be challenged by that. Remember, the disciples have already been with Christ for over a year. They've seen him do miracles. They've got this relationship established with him. And let's read this account and see what their response was when he asked them to follow him. Mark 1, beginning of verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he got a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired man and followed him. When it comes to following Jesus, when it comes to obeying him, just do it. That's the sermon in a sentence today. Just do it. Every time you see someone wearing Nike apparel or any time you wear it yourself, let it be a reminder that my heart is a heart that says, if Christ says it, I'm in. I'm going to obey. When our kids were growing up, we tried to teach them that there are four different qualities or parts of obedience that comes from the heart. If you ask them, I think they could probably tell you at least four today without they could do that. All four have to be present for it to be obedience from the heart. First of all, we said obedience means doing it right away. doing it right away. Did you catch that in the verses that we just read? Verse 18, Peter and Andrew, at once they left their nets and followed him. Verse 20, James and John, without delay he called them. They left their father Zebedee still in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. Obedience means doing it right away. Thank you to Brian for wearing your Just Do It Later shirt. Brian was a good sport for us in that. How often are we like Brian's slogan was during announcements? We intend to obey. Our desire is to do what God said to do. We're going to get to it. But we forget. And something else comes up. And it just doesn't get done. This is the King of the universe inviting us to follow him. Let's not delay. Obedience is doing it right away. Pastor Kyle puts it this way. He says, my yes is on the table. The answer is yes. Yes is on the table. Do it right away. The second character quality of obedience is doing it right the first time. Doing it right the first time. This is not a statement of perfectionism. This is not a statement of, well, if you made a mistake, you had a good heart. No, it's a heart desire. It's a heart that says, it's my passion, it's my desire to do it right the first time. And if I make mistakes, that's okay. But my heart's desire was to do it right the first time. See, way too often I'm guilty of a half-hearted obedience because I really don't want to do it. And I don't do it right the first time. But real obedience says, I'll do it right the first time. If the God of the universe is inviting us, why would we want to do anything less than that? That makes no sense at all. The third and fourth qualities for this just do it kind of obedience, we do it right away, we do it right the first time, and we do it without complaining or arguing. Without complaining or arguing. It's an attitude of trust. God, I trust you and I will follow you and I will honor you and I'm honored to follow you. You've heard me talk about Leo Hendrick, who was really the father of this church when the church was started like 40 years ago. We met first in his basement. This is before most of us, maybe before any of us were here. I'm not sure if anyone was here when Leo first started. And 2 weeks ago, yesterday, we celebrated Leo's 99th birthday with a birthday party in the activity center. And Leo was having fun and sharp mentally and laughing. And 1 week ago yesterday, Leo went to be with Jesus. And Leo's favorite verse in Scripture, he memorized a ton of Scripture, but his favorite verse was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, when I argue with God or I don't obey right away with the first time without complaining or arguing, I'm not trusting in the Lord with all my heart. I'm doing what makes sense to me. I'm leaning on my own understanding. And with verse 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Just this week, I was talking with a friend who knows that he had this period of time where he wasn't walking with God, and he knows he's completely forgiven because of Jesus Christ. He is clean before God. There is no guilt. He knows all that. And he's grown a ton while he's been in this church. I said, Ken, I so regret the pain that my choices back then still cause people today. I wish, and he didn't use these words exactly, I wish I'd have just done it. I wish that's how I would have lived. In our Threads Journal this past week, I hope we all read the Threads Journal. What an impactful week in the Threads Journal. It talked about all some of the benefits of obedience, and man, was an encouraging week to do that. But on day one and two in John 14, I thought of this little diagram as I read that as we start by knowing God, we read the scriptures, or we're out in nature, we look at the stars at night or whatever it is, and we become in awe of God. Knowing God helps us love God more. And the more we love God, the more we obey God. And the more we obey God, the scripture said, he reveals himself to us and we know him better. And it is this incredibly wonderful upward spiral that happens of knowing and loving and obeying and knowing more and loving more and obeying more. It's a great place to live. As I saw the devastation of Hurricane Dorian this past week, my mind went back to Matthew chapter 7. Turn there if you will. It's just the book right to the left. You can keep your finger here in Mark if you want. But it's just one book to the left. Matthew chapter 7, the illustration of the wise man and the foolish man. Notice as we read this account that both the wise man and the foolish man both understood God's word. They heard it. They understood it. They knew it. But there is a catastrophic difference between the outcomes of their life. One is destroyed. The other is strong and secure and solid. What was the one difference between the wise man and the foolish man that led to such catastrophic differences in the outcome of their life? They both knew it. The wise man's motto was, I'll just do it. The foolish man's might have been, I'll do it later. The wise man's yes was on the table. The foolish man's was not. They both knew it, but one obeyed it. And notice the difference. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. I think this next picture illustrates it well. It's a picture of the Florida coast with Hurricane Michael last year. The building that you see standing there, the builders put 40-foot deep pilings, concrete pilings. They made a cement house. It cost more to build this house. And when Hurricane Michael came through, it did perfectly well, while the neighborhood around it was destroyed. I can promise you that if you live very long, the winds will beat against your house. The rain will fall. It will come. The streams will rise. And the winds will blow and beat against your house. It's part of what life on this earth is about. It's how it happens here. And we make decisions every day as to whether or not we're going to build on, I'll just do it later. Or, yeah, I'll process it. Or if we're going to build those pilings 40 feet down, concrete, so that when that happens, the house stands. Several years ago, a friend of mine made a decision that he said absolutely changed the trajectory of his life. He was a Christian leader. He was a really good man. But he made the decision that if God said it, he would do it. whether it made sense to him or whether it made sense to his friends or not. That the decision of his life is just do it. See, before he did obey Scripture and obeyed Scripture well, but he argued with God some, and he gave his input and relied on his own understanding some. And he said, when I made the decision that said, I'll just do it. If God says it, whether it makes any sense or not, I'll do it. He said, it just took the pressure out, the debating, the contemplation. It's like, I've made a decision. And he said, there was incredible freedom in that. It's a decision that the disciples made. Jesus said, come follow me. And at once they left their nets. And to John, James and John, they leave their dad and their hired men in the boat. The sermon in a sentence. Could be, my yes is on the table. But they didn't have any yes is on the table shirts. So it's, just do it. But I need your help. I want you to say it with me. When Christ asks me to do something, that was really passionate. I think we can do better than that. When Christ asks me to do something, even if it doesn't make any sense to me, even if my friends say I'm crazy, even if it seems impossible, thank you. You guys are great. I'm going to shift gears a little bit because I want to go away from what Scripture says that requires obedience to what we as elders and pastors go, this is the disciple-making path that we see as strategic for growth and health in our church going forward. You may not be part of all the things on the path and still be obedient to God. Okay, so this is not an obedience thing, but I think it's a great opportunity thing. I want to talk some about D groups and give us the opportunity to sign up for D groups. I love D groups. D groups are gender-specific groups of 3 to 5 believers who meet together weekly for 12 months. We're going to have some of those go a little longer this time for the purpose of accelerated spiritual transformation and ultimately multiplication. For the past 10 months or so, we've had groups of guys and groups of gals in D groups for the purpose of them being prepared and trained so that here today, we can start launching church-wide D groups. So the ones who've been in D groups will be the leaders for the new D groups. And I could tell you about it, would love to tell you about it, but instead of doing that, I'm going to ask Seth Bowers and Brian McClure to come up. They've both been in a D group, and I want to ask them some questions about what that's like and let them tell you about D groups. And I like that shirt better. So if you guys could describe your D group in 3 words, what would it be?
Accountability, transparency, and a deeper connectedness. It's something that it's very hard to put it in 3 words, but those are 3 words that really mean something.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'd say another few words that come to mind are it's really encouraging just having that group to meet with each week and walk life together, and that is also motivating. And then also just there's a camaraderie that comes with it. Even though you may not all be close friends when you step into that group, when you're sharing and walking life together, you really do form a bond and a camaraderie. That's just really encouraging as well.
Cool. So what impact has a D group made on you guys' life?
Yeah, I'd say so the D group's made a big impact in my life in the last year. I've met with a group of guys that I did know pretty well before. And we're all in different life stages, going through different things. I don't know about you guys, but life tends to get really busy for me. And there's a lot of pulls and pushes during the week. And the D group has just had a huge impact in helping me just be consistent in my walk. Some of the things we talked about in the last few months. And another one I think back on through the year is just being connected to the body. Having people, when I come and meet with them, you know, I come as I am, the highs, the lows of the week. It's a place of honesty and a place just to just encourage each other and really be the church body for each other. And to do that all centered around just your daily time in the Word was also really encouraging to me. Not like it's another topic you're trying to jump into every week, but it's just, again, a place to process and encourage each other with what God's teaching you.
Cool.
Much the same. It's a daily walk. It's an hourly walk, minute by minute. Something that you come in on the week that you're or the day that you're planned to meet with your group, and you know you share your highs, you share your lows, you share the victories, the defeats even, and it's very meaningful, and it's something that that we use to sharpen each other in our walk.
You guys have both been in mid-sized groups and in D groups. What are some of the differences? What are some of the benefits of each? Just sort of contrast those two a little bit.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I grew up being involved in different Sunday schools, life groups. They've been great. Great time to fellowship with others and learn about different topics, and that's always been incredibly beneficial. The D group, you know, a group of saying, hey, we want to be disciples and learn what Christ is and live out what Christ is teaching us, has had more of a focus, I would say. You know, consistently meeting with 3 to 5 people, there's just more transparency and just more ways to come alongside of each other that are really applicable, and you get to build on those things as a group through the year. So that was really cool to see.
Cool.
I love life group. It's one of the things that that I really cherish and appreciate about our church and our setup and how things have moved forward. D group is another level. It's something that you get really personal. You get more than what you're going to do on a life group level, and it's something that I would not give up. It's something that that I love as well.
So if somebody says, I really want to grow, and joins a D group with this passion to just grow in their faith, what would you expect, what are some changes you expect them to see over the next year?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the right heart if you're going to step into a group like this. Because it's not another thing you're trying just to add to your schedule. It's something that says, hey, I want to grow. I want to become a more fully devoted follower of Christ in the way I'm intentionally building others and being built into, and also that intent to multiply and passionately pursue others. And so, you know, my hope and prayer would be that as you step into a group like that, that the Lord would just be teaching you how to live out more authentically what your true desires are through the week, and that you would also just have a deeper connectedness to the body of Christ coming alongside of each other every week.
For me, it's a matter of am I being obedient to Christ? Am I being obedient in my life, in my walk, in my work with the people that I work with, in my dealings with my family? Where am I at? And the way that the D group works and the format allows us to really inspect that and to dig deep.
Cool. Thank you, guys. If you've got more questions about D groups, ask them, ask around, say, hey, have you been in a D group? What's it like? And so I appreciate that. I love our D group. I love how we've gotten closer as time has gone on, how we've all grown because of D group. We've talked about it some, but just to illustrate the difference between a D group and a mid-sized group, whether it's Sunday School or Life Group, if you're in the first 3 rows here, would you stand up? You're going, oh no, what did I get myself into? To live for Christ in today's culture, you need somebody face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, encouraging you, challenging you, calling you forward. You just need that. You need to know what's going on in their life. So if this is a Sunday school or a life group, just look around. How long is it going to take for each of you to share what's going on in your life and how it is and just where you're at right now? Like, you better have a really long meeting, right? Okay? And are there questions that really should be asked that shouldn't be discussed in a mixed gender group? Yeah. Okay? So all the girls can sit down and everybody in the third row can sit down. Okay? Now, look around. We've got five guys here standing still. What if those five were in a group together? Now they can share, hey, this is what my week's been like. This is where I'm at. This is where I had victory. This is where I've struggled. This is what I need you guys to text me this week and encourage me on. Pray for me this week. Does that make sense? You can sit down. Thanks. That's just a picture of the difference. Leaders have been in training for the last 10 months, ready to start D groups. Imagine the impact if 200 people in our church were in D groups this coming year. Imagine the impact in our church. But imagine the impact in all those homes. And in the workplaces represented there. Imagine the impact in our city. And then out into our world. Imagine the difference that would make. And be one of those 200. Sign up. If you want to sign up, the backside of your connection card, they're the last thing to sign up, says, I'm interested in joining a D group in column A. List some different days that you could meet. And then in column B, some different times of day that you could meet in some of those groups. We're going to try to be creative. We're not about just trying to add more stuff in everybody's life. But if your mid-sized group doesn't meet on Sunday morning, then maybe your D group could in one of the hours, service hours, okay? It's still one block. Or maybe if you're not serving on Wednesday night, your D group could meet on a Wednesday night. Well, there's childcare already provided. We'll try to be creative with time so that it works in your life. But I hope that every one of us is regularly in worship, regularly in a mid-sized group, regularly in a D group with the heart and prayer that it will multiply. The impact of that 2, 3, 10, 20 years down the road is absolutely incredible. And it starts with us signing up and saying, I'm in now. I encourage us to do that. But even more than that, I encourage us to make the passion of our life that when Jesus says it, we'll just do it. We don't argue. We don't complain. We do it right away. We do it right the first time. Let's pray. Father, it is an incredible honor to be called to follow you. And I pray that as you call, it's like, yeah, my yes is on the table. We'll just do it. Because we trust you and we don't lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we submit to you. And thank you for what you will do in our families, in our church, in our city, and in the world as this begins to multiply. In Jesus' name, amen.